Last time we discussed the sugya of tefillah is not a mitzvah, and the basis of the permissibility of going to the mikvah on Shabbos on Friday night. Poskim discuss when a woman does go to the mikvah on Friday night. What about using hot water? In general, there's a gzeiras merchitzos, there's a din derabanan, beginning of Siman Shin Kavav in Orach Chaim, that you're not allowed to engage in bathing in hot water on Shabbos, even if the water was heated up before Shabbos, as a gzeira that you may come either to heat the water up on Shabbos, or people may perceive it as having heated the water up on Shabbos. So what about going to the mikvah on Friday night in hot water? The Pesach Tshuva here in Se'if Katan Beis quotes the Tshuva's Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi is Siman Yud Aleph. You take a look at the Pesach Tshuva in front of you, for those who have it. I am the Tshuva's Chacham Tzvi, Siman Yud Aleph, She'oser L'Nashim Lipo B'Lo Shabbos V'Chamin, Mishim De'oser L'Yerchot Kol Gufo V'Cham B'Shabbos. So that's the Xeris Merchot. So you're not allowed to wash your whole body in Chamin on Shabbos. And tefillas mitzvah is no exception. Then he goes on to say, either you have to use cold water, and if that's impossible, then you could go to the mikveh bein hashmashos. Even though in general you avoid tefillah bein hashmashos, but here we'll make that allowance to prevent the problem of zeiras merchitzos, because bein hashmashos were less concerned about derabbanan and tzarach mitzvah, so this is a case of tzarach mitzvah bein hashmashos. That's a Chacham Tzvi conclusion. Either use cold water, and if that's an impossibility, you can use hot water bein hashmashos. The Tshuva is known to be Huda, Tinyana Orachayim Simin Kafdalit. Pesach Tshuva also cites this, although not the entirety of it. He references it. Tshuva is known to be Huda, Tinyana Orachayim Simin Kafdalit. The known to be Huda is Mitzayin, a comment of the Korban Nisano in Masechet Shabbos. Korban Nisano in Perek Mem Alikin, Simin Kaf Beis Os Kuf. The second paragraph of Shabbos, Simin Kaf Beis Os Kuf in the Korban Nisano. Korban Nisano has a brief and puzzling line that the Gzeiras Merchitzos was not extended to Tefillas Mitzvah, to Tefillah and a Mikvah. No Gzeiras Merchitzos when it comes to Tefillah B'Mikvah. So Korban Nisano just has that as a passing comment without explanation. No, the Behuda attempts to explain what would the basis for that be. Why would we assume that the Xeris Merchitzos was not extended to Tefillah B'Mikvah? So first he suggests that the concern of the Xeris Merchitzos to begin with, why were Chazal Gozer against Rechitzas Kol Gufa B'Chamin? Because you're worried you may come to heat up water on Shabbos. So that concern is less pronounced when you're going to the mikvah dafka at the beginning of Shabbos, right? We want to minimize to the extent possible the break, the gap between chafifa and tefillah. So you're not going to be going to the mikvah 3 or 4 hours into Shabbos. You're going to be going as soon as possible once Shabbos begins. So then the concern that you may come to heat up water on Shabbos is less pronounced. And that's the Noda Behuda's first suggestion. And then he notes, Rashi, Shabbos Lamentesim and Beis Dibur Maskil Bekli. Rashi Lamentesim and Beis, sorry, Lamentesim and Beis Dibur Maskil Bekli. Shabbos Lamentesim and Beis Dibur Maskil Bekli. Rashi writes, what's the reason for the Xeris Merchot? So it's not that you may come to heat up water on Shabbos, but the person, who casual observer, may suspect that water was heated up on Shabbos. And that concern is, again, less pronounced when it comes to tefillah. Why? Sorry?
Who's around besides the Balani?
Okay. He says, because tefillah has to be b'shuvin. Sorry, the tefillah can't be b'shuvin. So what are you worried about? That you heat up water on Shabbos and pour it into the mikvah? Well, technically speaking, if it's already a mikvah kasher, so that wouldn't be a problem. But because you can't be told b'shuvin, so he sees it as less of a concern that people might think you heat up the water on Shabbos.
If you're telling on that reason, we have issues now.
Okay. But even with that, one second, Michael, even with that, the Nod Bihuda is reluctant to be matir tefillah v'chamin across the board. And he writes in the next Simon Cafe that his recommendation to the mikveh attendants was to stop heating up the water 2 hours before Shabbos, so that by the time Shabbos began, they would be posher and they'd be lukewarm, and Mayim posher, he assumed, is not a problem of Zeiras Merchitzas. Michael.
So Rabbi is saying that the reason why mikveh would be mutter is because it's a mikveh and it's not just like a bathhouse where people
right.
just go. Because a mikveh, mm-hmm. if you have water that's poured in, it's not a kosher mikveh.
Right.
Well,
if the mikveh is create, if you start with less than a shear and then you pour in shuvin, in the Hanami, if you already have a shear and then you pour in more hot water, that's not a problem. But in principle, that's where he's coming from. But the Nod Bihuda's recommendation, when he says he instructed the I guess the mikveh attendants in Prague, and before that he was in, what was the place called, with the Y? He instructed the mikveh attendants to stop heating up the water 2 hours before Shabbos. And that's what Rabbi Morgenstern quotes, Piskei Das, page Reish Samit, Reish Tzadiches, that was Rabbi Yashiv's recommendation to the mikveh attendants there in Yerushalayim, to dafka use poshrin as opposed to the regular hot water.
Yampol,
right. Okay. What is poshrin? What is the definition of lukewarm water in this regard? So Aruch HaShulchan in Shabbos, Simen Shin Kav Vav Seif Gimel, Aruch HaShulchan Simen Shin Kav Vav Seif Gimel, right? It's not so clear what the definition of poshrin is. He suggests maybe it's something less than what people would normally refer to as hot. Whatever the standard is for hot, it's nachas darka. It's a little bit less than the standard level of hot water. Okay, that's the best Yerucha Shulchan can come up with. Minchas Yitzchak Chela Dalid Simen Mem Dalid Os Kavav. Minchas Yitzchak Chela Dalid Simen Mem Dalid Os Kavav. Quotes from some achronim that poshrin is the level of heat of saliva. Kechamim asarok, which I think in Rabbi Morgenstern's sefer he quoted is 37, or he quoted the shear of poshrin is 37 Celsius, which is what in Fahrenheit?
I think 97.
It would be average body temperature.
Right, so that's Chamim Asarok.
Isn't that the Shach? Portion? Isn't the Shach made of proportions?
I'm sorry?
98.6.
So that's body temperature. Okay. The Shach, what's the Shach?
Doesn't the Shach say that proportion is? Rok?
He says the Chamim Asarok. Where's the Shach?
It's not over here, somewhere else.
Where's the Shach talk about poshrin?
Three books said it.
For the Shach? Okay,
maybe I'm not going to know. It's not over here. Like I said, it's not over here.
Right. Yeah, right, so that's the person discussing Hilchos Shabbos. Okay. Fine. If the Jew is Avnei Nezer, that some suggest being cognizant of in this context, there's another Sad Lahakel to justify the use of hot water on Friday night. Chuvatad Lineza Arachayim Simen Tuf Kuf Kavav Os Aleph. Simen Tuf Kuf Kavav Os Aleph. Lineza suggests that maybe when we talk about Zeres Merchatzos wasn't expressed by a Yosef Inifna. So someone just dips into the water and comes right out, or jumps in and jumps out. That's not subsumed under Xeris Merchatzos. So then if you're not going to the mikveh to enjoy the bath, but you're just dunking and coming right out, that wouldn't be a problem of Xeris Merchatzos. So some of the Svarim suggest that women should be somewhat conscious of this to minimize the amount of time spent in the mikvah on Friday night. Sidrei Tara notes here in Sukkot and Tevayin that the minug is to be tovel in hot water, because to be tovel in cold water is painful, tsar, and b'makom tsar, we're matir, we're washing, or we are less concerned about Xeris Merchatzos, b'makom tsar. So to go to mikvah in cold water would be painful, b'makom tsar, lo gozer.
Xeris Merchatzos means al Shabbos, right?
Al-Silchot Shabbos, right.
Yeah, but isn't there, when there becomes a Shash, just like by Hilchos Mikvos, we don't want her to be stand on like a piece of wood. We want
right.
her to be, because of Pachad.
Right.
Wouldn't that also apply? In other words, we're afraid that if the mikvah is too cold, she will not concentrate on doing her tefillah properly. She'll be more focused on getting out of the mikvah, as opposed to getting into the mikvah properly.
That's an interesting consideration. I haven't seen that in Poskim, but if you find someone who says that, let me know. Okay, thank you. But anyway, that's what the Sidrei Tara reports. The minhag, as he says, it was to use regular hot water on Shabbos. Darkei Tshuva Sif Katan Zayin quotes in the Binyan Siyam. Darkei Tshuva Sif Katan Zayin quotes in the Binyan Siyam. Binyan Siyam is in Siman Ayin Vav, that it's been many generations that women went to the mikvah Friday night in hot water, and you shouldn't be ma'arer on this minhag that existed midoros hakadmonim, which is how he says it. So whatever justification you give, be it the Avnei Nezer, be it the Nodim Yehuda, if you want to knock it out to Poshrin, whatever justification you're going to give, he says it's a minog midori doros, and you shouldn't be ma'arer on the minog. Rav Vosner writes that way as well, or something similar, in Chelak Hei Simen Memdalet, Chelak Hei Simen Memdalet, that there's what to rely upon to be tovel in hot water. My impression is that in America, generally speaking, the temperature of the mikvos Friday night isn't different than the temperature the rest of the week. They're not necessarily mapped for whatever the poshrin of the Nodav Yehuda is. Again, Rabbi Morgenstern quotes that Rav Yashiv instructed in Yerushalayim that they should daftly use potions. I don't know what the practice is there, but my impression is that in America, the mikvahs on Friday night are generally the same temperature. Rabbi Willig has in Riverdale, the instruction is that women should go to the mikvah 20 to 25 minutes after Shkia Friday night, because that's the Ikara did already after Bein HaShemashos, Mikra Din, but it's still Bein HaShemashos according to some poskim, so you're potentially marviach that position that there's an adifus to go to the Mikra Friday night, Bein HaShemashos, and also you're marviach Hatznias consideration, because if a woman goes to the Mikra 20, 25 minutes after Shkia, then by the time she comes out and is on the way home, the men are still in shul. If a woman goes to the Mikra 50 minutes after Shkia, so then either she's running into people on the way to the mikvah, or she's running into people on the way out of the mikvah, and that's a lack of sneis. Especially in places like the Seif, where the mikvah is across the street from the big shul. And that's the minhag of broyers. As I understand it from the time we lived in the Heights, for members of the Kehillah, the Broyer's Mikvah allows going to the Mikvah 20-25 minutes after Shkia Friday night, but not for people who are not card-carrying blood members of the Kehillah. That's reflected by the Sidrei Tara here in Sif Katan Tes, who quotes that this is the minhag in Frankfurt, to go to the Mikvah Friday night Bein HaShemashos. He quotes that the Be'er Sheva, Shuvas Be'er Sheva, page Kuf Yud, column 2 to page Kuf Yud Aleph, column 1. The Be'er Sheva quotes this practice of some to go to the mikvah Bein HaShemashos, and he rails against it, but what he's really opposed to isn't Bein HaShemashos, it's people who would go earlier. that some people go to the mikveh Friday night, before it's Friday night, when it's still light outside, and that's what the Be'er Sheva is really bothered by, not so much by Nishmashos, but the Siddur Torah quotes that the minhag in Frankfurt was to go to Nishmashos, and my impression is that the minhag here in Warriors for those who came from Frankfurt is to allow tefillah Friday night, 20-25 minutes or so after Shkia, but if your pedigree is from somewhere other than Germany, then they won't allow it, even if you bring a note from your rabbi.
So which is worse, the tefillah? I mean, there's two considerations over here.
Right.
You want to make sure you're not doing during the tefillah b'yom.
Right.
On the other hand, you don't want to do it, you don't, in the chaman at least, you don't want to be
right.
Tefillah chaman on Shabbos. So
right.
Which is the more
right.
important
right.
consideration?
Exactly. So that seems to be a discussion on poskim here. Ultimately, push comes to shove, the minhag olam, which is reflected by many serious poskim, is that we're mikel about chamin in a mikveh on Friday night. Whether there's still a consideration to have an adif to do it during a time that's still been a shmash, according to some, then I don't think, practically speaking, too many recommend going to the mikveh Friday night when it's Spanish Mashos holiday. So the discussion is, if it's me'ikar adin past Spanish Mashos, but a little bit earlier than we would during the week, so is there an adifus to going to the mikveh then?
You mean we're using that sneeze to be makriya?
Maybe, right.
No. I mean, because the Avadia says you should do it in the ikar adin Spanish Mashos, and I saw elsewhere also that you should do it in the first 13 minutes. Within the first 13 minutes.
He says the first 13 minutes?
13 and a half minutes. 13 and a half.
I didn't see that, yeah?
Yeah, we saw it, yeah, and his son's kids are safer.
Does he have an entire sabai? I didn't notice that.
I know, so, he made the bag.
Okay. Fine. You have to get it now. The Dargei Tshuva, Sipkatan Yudalid, quotes that there is a practice, a minhag may be the wrong term, but a practice in many communities in Poland, Galicia, and Russia, that women would not go to the mikveh Motzei Shabbos, and they felt that there was some sakana in going to the mikveh Motzei Shabbos. So he writes, again, the Dargei Tshuva on the last halakha in the Dargei Tshuva, Hilchos Nida, according to the Sharblat, was compiled by the Minchas Elazar himself, not by his father. All the Dargei Tshuva is the Minchas Elazar's father, but apparently the last volume was compiled by the Minchas Elazar. So he writes there, referring to Adoni of the Mori, so I'm assuming he's referring to the Dargei Tshuva. So the Dargei Tshuva, quotes the Dargei Tshuva, that when his father, the Dargei Tshuva, came to Munkad, she noticed that all the mikvos were closed on Motzei Shabbos, and he instructed them to open them. So the author of the Dargei Tshuva on Hilchos Nida suggests that maybe the Minchas Elazar, yeah. The Minchas Elazar writes, or the whoever edited the work under the Minchas Elazar supervision, writes that it could be this was based on the following toast. Where did this practice of closing the mikvos Motzei Shabbos come from? So there's a Berhetev in Simen Kuf Sadi Tes Os Yud Aleph. Simen Kuf Sadi Tes Os Yud Aleph. The Berhetev quotes from Amasas Binyamin that there was a practice of women wouldn't do a hefsek tara on Shabbos, because if a woman does a hefsek tara on Shabbos, then Leil Tefillah is Motzei Shabbos, and you're setting yourself up for a situation of being marfik chafifa min ha-tefillah. So there was a practice endorsed or reported by the Masas Binyamin that women would dafka rig their count so that they wouldn't do a hefsek tara on Shabbos to avoid a Motzei Shabbos tefillah. So that may not be a correct approach, but the Dargei Tshuva suggests maybe that's the basis for this erroneous minhag, that people, the way he presents it, is even if there might have been some legitimacy to that practice of rigging the schedule to avoid a Motzei Shabbos tefillah, but if l'maisa you do have a Motzei Shabbos tefillah, then you go to the mikvah Motzei Shabbos and you deal with the chafifa samukha tefillah, you don't close the mikvahs. So he thinks that practice that somehow to close the mikvahs Motzei Shabbos might have been based on that toz coming from this Masas Binyamin. Okay.
Shach and Kufay Kas.
The Shach.
The portion is like.
Yor Day 7 Kufay Kas. Sifkata Yudalid. One second. Sam Parsha in Kam Yosef Chamim Sarok. The Klagoda. Okay. Masha Kamam Shizko Bashas Parshim. Good. Okay. Thank you.
And
this
Ravadya.
Is
yeah. Ravadya is a kitzur from the sun.
Is he right? Even
portion.
Interesting. Okay. So Ravadya recommends the lechachilas to be tovel right after shir. Wow. Okay. Where does he quote? Is that in the Torah Sabbath? I didn't see it.
If it was, then we don't
hear it. So he doesn't have it seen on that. Okay. That's at the end of the section. Don't know. Oh, maybe. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll take a look. Good, thank you. Okay, so let's move on now to discuss the sugya of Tevila Bayom. So if you have a Gemara, take a look at Samach Zayin on the base. Whereas the following about 8 lines down. Amar Rav, Nida Bismana Eina Tavelas Ala Balaila, Shalom Bismana Tavelas Bain Bayom Bain Balaila. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Bain Bismana Bain Shalom Bismana Eina Tavelas Ala Balaila. So a woman always goes to the mikveh at night. Mishum Srach Bita. Because of Srach Bita. What's Srach Bita? Rashi. Mishum Srach Bita. Sheno Heges Achareha Litbol Bayom Vafil Bismana. So a woman goes to the mikvah by yom, let's say on day 8, which is Heter Gamor. But her daughter is going to notice that she goes to the mikvah by yom. She's going to confuse day 8 with day 7. Vasile de Karis. Layadad ima bishmini hu de tavla by yom. So it's because of Srach Bita, we're worried that people may get the misimpression that tefillah is mutter by yom, even bismana, which by nida is definitely not the case. That would be a chiyuv karis. So because of that concern, we were gozer not to be toveles bayom even shalom bisman. The Afrav Hadar Beit Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav Nida Beim Bisman Mei Shalom Bisman Eina Toveles Ela Balayim Mishum Sach Bita. So then everyone agreed to this din in the end. Afkin Ravidi Bin Arsh Lemitbo Bayom Ed Timyana Mishum Aryu. So then the Gemara has a series of situations in which various Amarayim were matir tefillah on day 8. Because of certain ones situations that precluded tefillah balayla. Fine, we'll come back to that later. Then the Gemara says, Amalei Repapalei Rabba, Ula Abaye Michti Ha'inna Kula Safik Zavas Shavini Rabbanan. So nowadays, everybody is a Safik Zavas, so we never have a case where a woman who's a Iker Din Nida D'Araisa would be going to the mikvah, both say, day 7, because we add additional days. So you never have a situation in which you really have a concern of Srach Bita, that a woman may confuse, or a girl may confuse, the possibility of going to the mikvah Bayom Hashmini with Bayom Hashmini. Because no one ever goes to the mikvah Bayom Hashmini and the day that would be her seventh day, Lini Dusa, because we always require Shiva Nikiyim. So at the earliest you'd ever go to the mikvah, even before any Paletz of Shiva Zara situation, would be on day 8. So why are we concerned about Srach Bita at all? I'm sorry?
Who's to say that wasn't Dan Dita in the last one that she saw?
But it's not day 7 anymore.
The first one was a Dan Dita.
Good.
So the first
so when did she go to
Mikvah? The first one was a different Dan.
What do you mean the first one?
The first Dan that she saw. I don't know if this one is already Dan Dita. It would have been one of the Rishon, especially one of the
right, tell us. Okay. So maybe. So you could have a situation in which.
That's the whole Chash. Is that the maybe the Dan Dita comes in. So if you don't know, then the last one was the really Dan Dita. So
Okay, so that does, on some level, that may be more of a chashash rechok, even if that's enough of a justification for some of the Rishonim to explain where where the additional chumras of Benos Yisrael came from. But as far as making an additional gzeira the rabbanon, that might be enough of a chashash rechoka. Meaning it's reasonable to be concerned about Sarach Bita, where that's a normal situation, where the role of a woman are Ikar Adin wouldn't be going to the mikvah most day 7. To make a whole new gzeira Shim Sarach Bita because of what's pretty much a rare occurrence, even though it's a possibility, that would be a chashash rechoka, that wouldn't be reasonable. I'm assuming that's what's behind the Gemara's question. So, under normal circumstances, a woman's never going to the mikvah, motzai day 7, lini dusa. So why are we concerned about Sarach Bita? The Gemara says, different consideration. Mishon de Reb Shimon, de Tanya, achar titar, achar achar lekulan, shalot heitumim avsekes beinayin, Reb Shimon omer, achar achar titar, achar maisa titar, v'lamar chachamim, asu lasas kein shema tavo li de safek. Another consideration, Rashi li de safek, Shema Tishamish Bo Bayom, Vitira Miyad L'Acher Tashmish, V'Nimsa Saseres Kol Shalafanel, Tfilah Sapsula. So even if we're considering her to be a Zava, so Me'ikar then she can go to the mikvah on day, let's say day 8, the final day for Shiva Nakiya. Alatzadah, she's a Nida, she's already past the main Nidus. Alatzadah, she's a Zava, Mixas Yab Gekulo, you're allowed to go to the mikvah during the daytime. However, we're concerned that Shema Tira Batister, maybe she'll have a Re'ia after she goes to the mikvah, she already would have had Tashmish with her husband. It's going to be a mess, and therefore we tell you you're not allowed to go to the mikvah on day 7, regardless. Okay, that's a Gemara. So let's go back to stage 1. Stage 1, the Gemara introduces the concern of Sarach Bita, and that's what the Gemara says, Bein Bismana Shalob, Bein Shalob Bismana, that you're not allowed to go to the mikvah Bayom, whether it's Bismana, whether it's Shalob Bismana. What does Shalob Bismana mean? Look at Rashi. Shalob Bismana Bishmini. So Bismana means day 7. You're not allowed to go to Mikvah on day 7. Obviously, Bayom. Bayanida. And you're not even allowed to go to Mikvah Bayom on day 8. What about day 9? So many of you showing assume that day 8 is lav dafka. Look at Tosas here. Tosas has a lush and divermas and mishum sarach bita, bein bishmini, bein bichi, bayom. So the way Tosas presents it is it's a problem on day 8, it's a problem on day 9. Look at the Rambam. Perek Dalid, Yisui Diyah, Lachates. Dalid, Yisui Diyah, Lachates. Sorry, Halacha Zayin. Nis'achra yamim rabim v'lo tavla. Even if she's delayed yamim rabim and didn't go to the mikvah yet, kishe titbo lo titbo el balayla. She'im titbo bayom yitu v'tavo nida acheres litbo v'shvi. So even if it's kama yamim, even if she's delayed past day 8, past day 9, whenever she goes to the mikvah, it can't be bayom because of srach bita. That's what the Shach writes here as well, the Halacha in Sikata and Zion. The Mechaber writes, Kuf Tzadi Zion Se'if Gimel. Asur Litbol Bayom Shvi'i, Vafilu Imam Tanis Mi Litbol Ad Yom Shmini O Chi, Eina Yichol Litbol Bayom, Yishim Sarach Bita. Shach writes, Sikata and Zion, O Chi, O Yoser, Kedemashra Poskim Upashadu. That any time, even past day 8, past day 9, a woman goes to the mikvah, she's not allowed to go bayom, mishum srach bita. Then the Shach points out in Sifkat and Ches that as far as srach bita is concerned, that's also a low plug. Shach writes, Sifkat and Ches, shesavrish ima tavu bayom shvi, vatasa kei dami, vakilu elabas. Dina hachid de lo plug, upashir. Sarach bita is lavdafka, doesn't have to be your daughter, could be there's no one home. But that's the nature of the Zeres Chazal, that a woman isn't allowed to go to the mikvah by yo, bishur sachbita, even if there's no bas, even if no one knows about it. Low plug.
Like Fishalak, I mean, you know, I mean, children are just shy of cosmos.
Okay.
But what is the sachbita by 8 and 9? We're concerned that the daughter will learn what?
That you're allowed to go to the mikvah by yom, and she won't distinguish between the lobis nine and the smana.
So then, but
and she may come to go to the mikvah by yom hashvi'i l'nidusa.
Oh, she may, but we don't do that. We don't.
Good. Okay. Not, good. So hold on to that kasha. Good. There is a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Megillah, Perek Beis Osei. Yerushalmi is quoted by Shlomo Kluger in his Tshuva Se'elef HaShlomo Yaradeya Simen Reish Lamed Aleph. Okay, Tshuva Se'elef HaShlomo Yaradeya Simen Reish Lamed Aleph. Yerushalmi is in Megillah, Perek Beis Simen Hei. Before we get to Shlomo Kluger, the Yerushalmi has the following line: Nida She'aver Zmana Toveles Bein Bayom Bein Balayla. Anida, who is Shelo Bismano, goes to the mikvah, Bein Bayom Bein Balayla. So that seems pretty clear. That's like the Madur Kama of Rav and Argamara, before his Chazara, that a woman whose Tavela Shelo Bismano is allowed to go Bayom L'chafila. There's no impediment of Srach Bita, there's no impediment to going to the mikvah on day 8 Bayom. If that Yerushalmi seems to be against our Gemara. And Shlomo Kluger thinks that the Yerushalmi implicitly is against this Shach as well. The Shach who says that there's a low plug, whether you have a bas or you don't have a bas. The Yerushalmi has the following line. After it says, Nida Shavar Zmana Toveles Bein Bayom Bein Balayla, Tamad Amru Afilu Over Zmana Lo B'nei Chamosa B'nei Chamosa B'nei Kalasa. What does that mean? So the way he explains it is that even if you don't have a daughter-in-law, there's a concern of Sarach because of your mother-in-law. Even if you don't have a mother-in-law, then we're concerned about Srach of your daughter-in-law. Implying that if you don't have a mother-in-law or a daughter-in-law, meaning if there's no one around who can make a mistake based on your tefillah bayom, then tefillah bayom would be mutter shelo bismano. So the way he understands Yerushalmi, there's a modification of the first broad statement. First Yerushalmi says that Shalom is Mana is Mutter Bein Bayom Bein Balayla. Sounds like there's no Srach Bita at all. But then the Yerushalmi raises this line about Chamosa Kalasa, which doesn't read so clearly, and he notes that the Mefarshi Yerushalmi don't really explain it. So he understands that that line is a modification, a corrective, that no, you don't have a blanket license to go to the Mikvah Bayom Hashmini if there's a Srach consideration. However, that Srach consideration is only where there's an actual concern and there's no low plug. So Shlomo Kluger leaves that as a Tzarach Iyam L'maisa, whether to assume that way L'halacha, that there's no low plug, but the Shach definitely assumes a low plug, and all the poskim, Shlomo Kluger notwithstanding, all the later poskim assume as well that this is a blanket low plug. Srach Bita is a concern, even if there's no bas, even if there's no one around to make such a mistake.
Can I also assume that the first half is against the Bavli, so the Hamshen is probably also against the Bavli?
Unless the first half is not against the Bavli, because it's modified by the second half, which makes it shtim of the Bavli. Right? It says a blanket statement, even Shalom is mine. Then there's some line about Kalasa Chamosa. So that means to say, right. So he understands that that's qualifying the blanket statement and saying, no, there is a concern of Srach, but the fact that the Yerushalmi expresses it in a more complex way of Nene Chamosa, Nene Kalasa, sounds like it's dafka where there is such a person of interest, but there's no broad low plug. Okay, so Yisrael Meir raised a legitimate question, which is, and essentially it's an issue with how you read the Gemara, because the way we just read the Gemara straight sounds like Sraf Bita is rejected Bizman Hazeh, and the Gemara presents the concern of Shematir Batistor as a reason to preserve the original Gezerah, even where Sraf Bita may not apply. So is that really true? According to most Rishonim, it's not true. Is that really true that the concern of Sraf Bita is somewhat abrogated or minimized or eliminated where we don't have any need to the rights to speak of? Raviyah Chelek Aleph Simen Kutzadi, which is briefly referenced in the Agos Maimonides here, which Os? I think Os Gimel. Or Os Dalet?
It's not really. Anyway, that was.
I'm sorry?
Part of the suffering is that Shafkita she'll go during the day, she could have Bia, and then she'll be.
That was the
Shem Tov
of the
Suffolk. That's Shem Tov of the Tistor, right? So Shem Tov is that if you go to Mikvah Bayom, then someone's going to get confused and think you're allowed to go even Bayom Hashvi'i when they do so. Right? Okay. So the Raviyah writes as follows, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Tzadi. Near Be'enai, Disraf Bita Lo Shayef Ela Benida Deresa. Disraf Bita is only a concern when you have an actual, real-life Nida. Dafilu Imroa Kol Shiva Tavelas Belel Shmini. V'imrasa Yom Efanami Tavelas Belel Shmini. So by a real-life Nida Deresa, where you go to the mikvah, come what may, Motzei Shvi, after 7 days, even if she's a Roa Dam all 7 days. Dirksev Shivasya Mimtiye Binidasa Hilkach, Afila Shalobizmana, the Hainu Yom Shmini, Gazra Chachamim, Shilotitpo Mishim Sraf Bita, Shamatita Vitipo Yom Shvi, Vasuli De Karis Badi. So that's where Sraf Bita is a consideration. I'm skipping a little. Hilkach Nirali, Divizmana Ze, Bayom Shvi, Asura Litpo Lechachila Mishim Drip Shimon. So nowadays, on day 7, the reason you can't go to the mikvah by yom on day 7 is because of Shematir V'Tistor. Aval b'yom shmini, t'haynu yom shel achar shivin akiyah, but on day 8, where there's no Shematir V'Tistor, the only concern would be Srach Bita, yichol lipo l'chachila afilu b'lo ones v'tzina v'gangvi. So nowadays, where we don't have any real need of the rices anymore, there's no impediment to go into the mikvah lechachila by yom hashmini. The mishum of shemit lakol dig. So there's no shematir v'tistor on day 8. The kol shekei the mishum sraf bita leka. There's definitely no sraf bita. One second. V'hi gufa gzeira v'anam neka v'nigzor gzeira l'gzeira. I think that's the answer to what you're saying. So you're going to put them together. That's gzeira l'gzeira. That's going too far. That's beyond anything that we see. We're not creating new Zera. So, Shematir Batistor, that's a problem on day 7. Sraf Bita, not a problem at all. So, on day 8, there's no impediment to go to the mikvah, even Lechat Chila. Okay? That's the position of the Raviyah that did not gain so much traction. To the extreme, even more extreme than the Raviyah, is the position of the Balamor. Balamor, Shara Tvila Os Aleph in the first paragraph, Shara Tvila Os Aleph, assumes that nowadays even Tvila Bayom HaShvi'i is Mutter. Even on day 7. Because all the chumras were only applied, even Reb Shimon was only applied at a time when there's neither the araisa. But to be concerned about Reb Shimon nowadays, which is essentially stringing together a few chashashos, that maybe, we don't know if she's an either zava, maybe she's a zava. And if she's a zava, maybe she's going to go to the nipun at tashmish bayom. And if she has tashmish bayom, then maybe she's going to be roa v'saseres. So all those concerns are add up to a chashash rachok. And since nowadays we don't have a nida the raisa anyway, then we're not machmir to that extent. That's a more extreme position of Almor, Michael.
This is really what's seen in the Ramah.
What do you mean?
The Ramah talks about how if you have a kala who's your husband until later that evening, then it's mutter to...
The kala is a different consideration because there's no possibility of bia, and that we'll get to that we'll get to that analysis. Okay. So this Rabiyah and the more extreme position of the Baal Mor are not reflected in Rov Rishonim. Tosos here, Dibur Maskil Mishum Srach Bita, implicitly rejects this possibility of the Rabiyah. Because who are the Amoraim here who are Matir Tfila Bashmini Mishum Ones? These are later Amoraim. So this is definitely after Reb Zeira, after the Kanos Rebbe, after Reb Zeira. So how can you tell me that the concern of Srach Bita Bayom Hashmini was only before the Chumra Benos Yisrael? Here you have Amoraim who were clearly after the Chumra Benos Yisrael, who were knowing an Isser Bashmini, if not for a situation of onus. I presume the Rabbi would have to answer to that. That even though there was a Chumra Benos Yisrael reported by Reb Zeira, it wasn't nispachet legamri until some point later. But again, I think that the simple read of the Shach Batari of the Gemara is more like the Ravia, because the simple read sounds like the Gemara is rejecting Srach Bita as a consideration once we don't have Nidas Darais anymore. That's what we have to come on to Shema Vitir Vitister. It sounds that way even in the Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar. Sefer Yashar, Chelek HaTshuva Simen Mem Hei Os Beis. Chelek HaTshuva Simen Mem Hei Os Beis. Lashon of the Rabbeinu Tam Sefer Yashar, in summarizing the Shach Batari of the Gemara, the Kadba'i Michti Safek Zavas Ninu Malim Tisrach Bita. So nowadays, our world Safek Zavas, why do we care about Srach Bita? Unishani, our answer is af al pi disrach bita less. Even though nowadays there's no srach bita anymore, mishum derb shimen, we have another concern. So that read of the Shach Vitaria sounds like srach bita is rejected as being a concern anymore once we don't have nida the araisa. So I presume that the other Rishonim will have to learn, the Rishonim that we Paschal like, that we are considered the best Rav Bita nowadays, the Bali Tosos, will have to learn that once the Gemara establishes that we're concerned about Shem Ritir Ritistor, so some of Srach Bita is still in the picture. Chozer Vinei is still part of the calculation. Maybe it's Xer that the Rabbiah didn't want to say, but we rehabilitate Srach Bita. So I think if not for Shem Ritir Ritistor, so maybe we would have rejected any possibility of an Isser B'yom HaShmini at all. But once I have Shemat Yerba Tistra, even though that's a Yom Shvi consideration, somehow that revives Sraf Bita as being of concern. He says it like that? He quotes the Rashba as that Lashon. No, the Rashi is addressing something else. Once you, there are two. According to Rav Rishona, there are two levels of the Gzeira of Shem and Tirvat Tistra. You're not allowed to be Tovel on day seven. You're not allowed to have Tashmish on day seven. So isn't that a Gzeira of having of Asering the Tefillah on top of Asering the Tashmish? And that he says because it's the Yukaris, we're not concerned about Gzeira. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, that's right. So you could use the same idea that.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of a different Xero look Xero. But okay.
Or I mean, at times, maybe that's why we're at times make all the tefillah, but macron on the what's going to be going the actual issue, the real problem of being together. He seems to be at times is kind of waves away the tefillah, but he's still
right.
He's still bothered by the Shema, she'll come back home.
Right, okay. Fine. So, as Mary just mentioned, the Machlokas, the Bali Tosus here, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rashban quote in the Rush about the following point. Rabbeinu Tam writes here in Tosfos, Dibur Vasko, Mishum Sraf Bita. So, where we're only talking about Sraf Bita on day 8, so there's no impediment per se to go into the mikvah by yom as long as you avoid Sraf Bita. So if a woman's going to go samuch l'chashecha but leave her house but not come back home until dark, so then her daughter's not going to be have a misimpression that you'll have to go to the mikvah by yom. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, there's no problem be'etzem with going to the mikveh by Yom HaShmini, the problem would be coming home by Yom HaShmini in a way that it would be apparent to the observer that you actually went to the mikveh by Yom. But in principle, if you go to the mikveh, samuch l'chasheka, and then come back after dark, that would be okay. So in Tosis' context here, it sounds like this Rabbi Natan is only discussing a kula on day 8 and not on day 7. That's how the Torah presents Shitas Rabbi Natan. The Torah is Rabbi Natan Haya Omer She'ein Tzarech Lahachmir Kolkach Lahantin Ad She'tachshach Bayom Shmini Rakshetitbol Samach L'chashecha V'tavol L'beis HaMishetachshach. The two lakas rapita. So the way the Torah presents a minitam, this is a kula dafka b'yom hashmini. You can go to the mikvah samach l'chashecha as long as you get home after dark. And the Rush in Siman Lamed Vav quotes the Rashbam, who argues that no, there's no heter of going to the mikvah samach l'chashecha even if you're only going to get home later. Siman Lamed Vav in Hilchas Mikvaos. Rashbam Yamachmir Shalo Tat Tipol Ad Shetashach. Okay. But what's the difference between day 8 and day 7 as far as the Sraf Bita consideration? And presumably, even before we get to a Shematir Batista consideration, if we take Shematir Batista out of the picture, we're just looking at Sraf Bita, the Rabbeinu Tam is distinguishing between Sraf Bita on day 8 and Sraf Bita on day 7. He only allows Tefillah Samach L'chashecha on day 8, not on day 7. Sidri Tara Sifkatan Tes quotes in the Chuvas Avodas HaGirshuni. Sidri Tara Sifkatan Tes. That on day 8, there are two mistakes that the daughter would have to make in order to have a fatal error. She'd have to confuse Samach L'chashecha with L'Archashe Chashecha, and she'd have to confuse day 8 with day 7. So that is too much of a stretch to be worried about. But on day 7, the only confusion would be to confuse Samach L'chashecha with the Akasha Hashecha, and that we're worried about. Michael.
Isn't there a little problem with that calculation? Because does the daughter really know what day it is for the mother?
So that's all point.
I'm saying, does she, on a regular basis, does she know that the mother is counting already from like 7, 8, 9, 10?
No, so she would.
For all she knows, she could really be the seventh day.
Okay, so that's the premise here, that you have to make, that to be two mistakes or two miscalculations. That's one of them. So we're, but that's enough of a difference to distinguish between day 8 and day 7. That's the avodah d'sagir shuni. Sidur Tavir also goes to Chachman Tzvi, same tshuva we quoted earlier, Yud Aleph and the Chachman Tzvi. You have a different calculus here to explain this distinction. The Chacham Tzvi that the Sidur Tara quotes assumes that Shitas Rabbeinu Tam applies not like the Torah, but Rabbeinu Tam set his position even on day 7, not only on day 8. Because the likelihood is, the way the Chacham Tzvi presents it, that Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam are arguing about a normal situation. So the normal situation is where a woman goes to the mikvah at the end of day 7. Go to the mikvah at the end of day 8 is not a normal situation. That's a mikra rachok. It's not mashma, but that's the machlokus between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam. So it must be that they're arguing about day seven as well. The Aruch HaShulchan assumes like that also. Aruch HaShulchan here in Se'if Yud Gimel.
Against the Torah.
Assume that they must be arguing about day seven. The Shach is explicitly not the way. The Shach in Sivkot and Vav is explicit. The Ravina Tamshit only applies to day eight, not to day seven. Right, the Shach doesn't recommend relying on this L'chachila. He quotes the Agur, who says that there is a minute to rely on it. The Shach says that you shouldn't practice this L'chachila. If someone did it, if it's on day eight, you shouldn't be mocha. On day seven, you should be mocha. Ramosha finds it difficult. Ramosha in Chelek Gimel Simin Samach. Chelek Gimel Simin Samach. Ramosha finds it difficult. He assumes the pashtus is that in the presentation of the Rush, the fact that there's no qualification in the Rush, that the Machlokas is about day seven. And how could it be that the Tor didn't understand things like his father, the Rush? So he tries to be dochet that maybe the Tor didn't really mean what he says. Ramosha is of the extreme of the Makilim, again, Simon Samach and Chela Gimel, Simon Samach Aleph as well, that Ramosha's makel to allow a tefillah on day seven in a situation where there's a tzorech, Ramosha's makel to allow a tefillah on day seven where she's going to come home after dark. So he establishes, well, we clearly followed Bina Tam against the Rashbam, because Tosus and Ardaf doesn't quote the Rashbam. The Rush only quotes the Rashbam as a Chumrah. And he says the Bina Tam talking about day seven. So even the Makom Vitol Ona for a day, even there's no Peruvu, Ramosha's Megal Tulal Tfilu Bayom, Samuk L'Chashecha. In his case, or the more common case, is where a woman is in a situation where she has a Friday night tefillah and can't get to the mikveh on Shabbos. So Moshe is willing to allow, rather than push up the tefillah to Moshe Shabbos, Moshe is willing to allow a tefillah by Yom. Then he deals with, well, how is she going to get home? When is she going to get home? She can't get home until after dark. So even though Yom Moshe has more kiddushin, even though there's a Chuvas Chasim Sofer, Yaradeya Kupsadi Zayin, Chasim Sofer says that not only is she not allowed to go home before it's dark, she's not allowed to go to a friend's house, because maybe her husband will find her at her friend's house and they know they can find out where each other are. But if you're going to come home Friday night, and there's family there, and there are other people, so even though it's still light outside, you come up a minute before candle lighting, and your husband already went to shul, and we're not worried he's going to come home before dark because he's not going to leave shul early, then maybe the chazan sofer would be okay with that. At least in the winter, where people are still going to be up and walking in and out for a few hours, maybe the summer is worse. So B'Shas HaTzach, he thinks you could be maker like this. As we'll see, most poskim do not accept Ramosha's kulas here. Ramosha has a double kula. Number one, to allow a day seven tefillah, even for a bit of on of one night. Number two, to allow this in a Friday night situation, the woman's coming back to the house under certain circumstances before candlelight. Rav Schechter, if I recall correctly, is known that towards Ramosha's approach here. But again, as we'll see, probably more next time, most poskim see this as a big kula and don't accept it. So before we analyze further what's behind this position of Moshe and the Chokim, we have to look at the situations of onus that the Gemara discusses that allow a tefillah bayom hashmini. So the Gemara has, as we saw, the piece that we skipped over, on Samasayin of the days. Asked Ravidi Minarsh, the Mibbah, the Yomad, Timnaya, Mishamar Yusa. So there were lions around, and it was dangerous to go to the Mikvah night, so we allowed Tfilah by Yom Hashmini. Ravachar Yaakov, the Pupanaya, Misham Ganvi, they're going off around the night. Ravihuda Bumpadisa, Misham Sina, it was too cold. Ravim Bechuzah, Misham Avuloi. Tubshat Ben Rashi, what Avuloi are, either the guards were out, the non-Jewish guards, and that was dangerous, or there were stumbling blocks, or cave openings on the way that you could fall into. So various situations of danger that various Amoraim used to allow for tefillah by Yom HaShmini, where there's some danger involved in going to the mikvah at night. Piskei Teshuva in Sifkat Yud Aleph quotes a Chamudi Daniel. Chamudi Daniel says, oh, you see from the Gemara's examples that the only situation of onus where we would allow a tefillah by Yom is where it's an onus that affects the entire community. There are ganavim, there are lions, it's cold, it's something that's an across-the-board consideration. But if you have an onus that's specific to one individual, that wouldn't rise to the level of allowing a tefillah bayom. That's the position of Piskei Teshuva, the Chamudi Daniel, quoting Piskei Teshuva here, Sifkatan Yud Aleph. Rav Shechter points out that the Rambam you see clearly not the way. The Rambam is in Perek Dal in Halacha Ches. Rambam writes, Haisachola, she's sick. Osha Yamach Matfila Rachok, Vein Anashim Yecholos Agila, V'lachzer B'layla Menei Listim, Menei Tzina, Menei Shnolin Sharia Medina B'layla, Harezu Tavelz B'yom Hashmini Yom B'yom Shal Akar B'yom. The Rambam includes a chola, which is not one of the Gemara's examples, which is clearly a personal onus, not a communal onus. The most poskim are makel to allow tefillah by Yom HaShmini, even for personal onus under appropriate circumstances. Rabbi Morgenzer quotes page Reish Pei Zayin that Rav Eliashiv is machmir, Rav Nissen Karelis is machmir. Rabbi Forrest has the following suggestion.
Yeah,
I'm sorry?
Machmir,
like the Chamud Daniel. Right. Rabbi Forrest has the following analysis on page 249, footnote 26. He suggests maybe the machlokas is based on the following. Why is it that there is an allowance for tefillah bayom in a situation of onus? Wasn't the pshat that there's no srach bita because the daughter will realize the reason she went to the mikvah bayom is because of an onus situation? There's no srach bita where the daughter will understand the context. Or is it that Chazal will never go there in a case where there is an onus? So if Chad is that the daughter will realize that there's an onus, maybe that doesn't apply. If it's a personal onus that only affects her mother, then she may not realize the extent or the existence of that personal onus, as opposed to if it's a communal onus, so everyone understands it's dangerous to go out at night. But if it's a blanket low-go-through in a situation where there's an onus, that could in theory apply even to a personal onus. Okay, we'll stop here. Next time, we'll finish up this discussion of Ones and Tefillah Bayom, under what circumstances that's possible. We'll talk about Tefillah Kala Bayom, and then we'll begin an introduction to Chatzitza.
What, who follows the Chatzitza?